What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And Daddy's gone. No Alex today. Woo-hoo! Let's get nuts. And as we just said before we turn on these mics, life is just a one big blur of insanity, and then you die, is what Pete said to me the second before I pressed the record button. And with that in mind, we're going to dive into some comic books, because we got a huge stack of books.
Huge stack.
Just a massive, it's every book on the shelf, essentially. We are going to talk about them. We're going to talk about them a little bit and offer our opinions on each one. And we're going to start with a massive title. This is something we've talked about. We've looked forward to it, and we've been sad about it a little bit. It's Batman number 85, Tom King's last issue before it's handed over to James Tynan. And his run with Guillaume March. Now, Pete, you have been a fan.
Yep.
You love relationships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you like Thomas Wayne, the Batman. You think he's the Batman?
No.
Okay. Tell me what you think about this end of his epic run.
First off.
And this issue on its own.
Beautiful ending. Really touching.
Really.
Really nice. I loved it. I really was impressed with all the things it touched upon. You know, the whole bat and cat thing, I think, is a really great.
Let me give a quick recap.
Because
you're just dropping into some Dr. Seuss language. You got Batman and Catwoman.
That's what I do.
Yeah, you are Dr. Seuss without the PhD. Batman has had a relationship with Catwoman that ended, they were about to get married, ended pretty sadly. He was distraught. At the same time, Bane took over Gotham City, broke the Batman with the help of Thomas Wayne from another dimension, his father. We're getting a lot of father-son stuff here. Batman has since fought his way back after recouping with Catwoman, reigniting their relationship. The two of them came back to Gotham, fought their way back, defeated Bane.
All, unfortunately, at the cost of Alfred.
Alfred, the butler, an important...
and a father important, figure
I would role. Say he's probably an important employee. Like
he's a father to goddamn Bruce
he's
Wayne.
He's probably the employee of the month, what, 4 months out of the year?
Fuck you.
Because I'm sure there's other people working at the mansion that we don't meet. Because like, who do you want to replace Alfred? Like a driver?
Dude, maybe like I don't want to talk milkman. About replacing Alfred right now.
Maybe there'll be a milkman who like Batman welcomes into
but
the cave.
But as we see in this, Batman's married to Kat, so he doesn't really need Alfred anymore.
Wow. And that's true. When you get married, you do kill your father. You do eliminate your parents from your life. That's what marriage is all about. So, yes, it is sad. Alfred is dead, which is a major change in the Batman canon, and I'm curious how long that will stand. Because Batman's also a weird character to bring back. Like, what circumstances would cause Alfred to be resurrected?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's not like he's like...
The Lazarus pit?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
But why Batman's going to be like, hey, I'll throw him in the pit, see what happens. I want some tea. Let me toss old Al in the Lazarus pit.
I really like what Batman finally had to say to his father, his in quotes father, letting him know you're not my dad. And that's right. Just because you're from a different dimension doesn't mean you get to claim the dad status. You had a kid in your own fucking dimension. Not in this one, motherfucker.
Yeah, and I think it was a nice sort of way for Batman to deal with the loss of his parents and his father specifically directly. Be like, you're not my father. My father died, and that made me who I am. So stop telling me who I am, which is what Thomas was doing through the last like 4 or 5 issues here. I love Tom King's run, and this was such a nice end to it. And obviously, he's going to continue with the Batman and Catwoman book to continue.
That.
Yes, that'll be fun. But this was nice. We see, we hear the Gotham Knights game going on throughout this issue, which has been something that Tom has had in his run a number of times. And I sort of love that as a metaphor for Batman and comics in general, where. Comics are a game. Like the characters, we see them face off against their villains.
Yeah, that's what
it's cyclical.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about. You know, they're talking about the game, but they're also talking about Batman as a comic. It is repetitive. You know, it is.
Yeah, just like a football season. Like, you see there's a quarterback. He is fighting against the other team. He has the people on his team that he uses to try to win. And they win, they lose, and then the next season, everything restarts. It's just like a run on comic books. And that's what I think Tom King is saying here. And we get a little preview of James Tynan's take, which is very Joker-heavy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny. It's a different take. Like, I really like James as a writer. Something is Killing the Children is a great book right now in the stands, which I feel like he's going to bring some sort of dark, macabre stuff here. It's very different than Tom King. Tom King feels very much like he makes the superheroes and villains people, and we get to see them
like
Kite Man. Yeah. Hell yeah, I would even say. And we get to see we've gotten to see these characters just going about their lives and examining their lives, which I think is nice.
It'll also be interesting to see how long Bat and Cat are together.
Forever. That's what marriage is.
Well, that's what they said. And it was quite beautiful. The romance stuff between them was really well done.
It is. It's really nice, and I do want to see a lot more of it. Even if it becomes like a little bit of a backstory in the Batman universe where it's like they're still married, but Batman's going off on his own missions. Catwoman's having her own life as well, because your life continues when you get married.
Yeah.
So I would like to see that. I hope they continue that. It'd be a shame to lose it. Let's move on and talk.
It sounded like you weren't talking about the comic there, that you were...
No, okay. I still rob. I'm the Catwoman in my marriage. I still
say,
rob Banks.
I don't think anybody's trying to end anything that you're doing. So.
No. I still rob Banks as a married man.
Okay, great. I'm glad to hear it.
And my wife is more the Batman. And boy, does she stay up late.
That got weird.
She has her own car.
I just think it's... it's really one of those impressive runs. I want to get it collected.
You're going to collect it?
Yeah, because I think it's going to go down as one of the top Batman runs of all time.
I like the idea that you're going to sew together your single issues of Batman and make your own trade.
No, I think DC will.
They'll
put
probably
together.
Do it. Yeah, but if not, you're going to do it for people.
Yep.
So everybody, send your comics to Pete. He will sew them together. He is a seamster. Let's move on and talk about a comic that is very topical, what with the Stars Wars that is happening, especially this week.
Now, this is a comic you wanted to talk about.
I mean, let's be honest. Alex selected the stack, and we're just being the puppets.
We got to add a couple.
Yeah.
We're
independent. Yep. We're strong.
Just because Alvin tells us to do some
doesn't mean we have to do it, but yeah, here we're doing it right now.
Well, we're doing some of it. We made our own choice.
The Rise of Kylo Ren, number one, focusing
Boo.
On Pete
Boo.
Hates this book.
Fuck this whole book.
And
I love Charles Soule. I think he's an amazing writer, but no one needs to make a Kylo Ren book.
Now, let me say, obviously the Star Wars movies there's the Rise of Skywalker comes out in a matter of days. Like one day.
Yeah.
Pete, are you a fan of Star Wars, the movies?
Yes, I am.
So Kylo Ren has become the focus of this final trilogy.
That guy.
But you don't like... Now, let me guess why you don't like him. His lightsaber's too cool.
Nope.
He wears a hat.
Nope.
He killed Han Solo.
Yes.
There it is.
Fuck
Han's your guy.
Yeah.
And so tell me then, with that in mind, tell me why you're basically throwing this issue in the trash.
I wish I could throw it in the trash. I should. You know what? I'm going to go to Midtown Comics tomorrow, buy it, and then fucking throw it out.
That's a little tiny protest.
Yep.
But why? Tell us why. Because I'll tell you what. Pete is a man who holds a tiny grudge. Don't cross Pete in the tiniest of ways. And here's maybe the smallest criticism of any book you, dear listener, will ever hear.
They call him Mr. Solo in this book, and that fucking enraged
me. They call him Master Solo.
Whatever.
A droid calls Kylo Ren Master Solo because he is Ben Solo.
Don't even say that out loud.
It's his name.
He doesn't deserve that name.
What, Ben?
No. You asshole, Ben.
Ben Kenobi. Yeah. It's weird that they named him Ben after Luke's buddy, Obi-Wan.
It's not that weird. Obi-Wan did a lot of great things.
It's not like Han and Obi-Wan were like, bro, we're friends.
Yeah,
in fact,
but
Han was sort of
Leia
like,
knows what's up.
But Leia didn't hang out with Obi-Wan.
She was there.
No, not really.
A little bit.
They didn't hang. Anyway, it is weird that they named him Ben, but they did name him Ben, and his name is Ben Solo, so it makes sense that the droid would call him that.
It brought me to a fucking giant rage.
So this issue is giving us...
I don't care about this character. I don't care about his backstory. I don't care what he does with his life. I cannot wait for him to die, and that's the reason I bought. I have my tickets, and I'm going to see Star Wars, and I cannot wait to see this motherfucker die. I hope Chewbacca chokes him out with his bare fucking paws.
You think he's going to die in this movie?
He better fucking die.
I don't know. He's a Skywalker, and the movie is titled The Rise of Skywalker.
He's not a Skywalker.
He is.
Well, technically, you're right.
That technically is how you do things.
Well, you don't get to... You don't get to kill Han Solo and then live.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
This book dealing with some backstory on Kylo Ren, how he went from being Ben Solo to Kylo Ren.
Do you care?
Of Kylo Ren?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the character. One of the things I'm most excited about with the movie, we're talking mostly about the movie in this review of this comic, but is the Kylo Rey relationship is one of the more interesting things happening in the Star Wars, this final trilogy.
I agree with half of that.
Interesting. Well, you're a big...
Rey's
you got to
awesome.
Know what happens with Finn?
Rey is
Finn going to go to another casino?
I hope he gets to do more than that, because that was kind of... He got the shaft a little bit.
We also get to see the Knights of Ren in this comic. Interesting stuff there. We explore some of Kylo's relationship with Luke Skywalker, Ben's relationship with Luke. It's a fun book. I mean, these Star Wars books are nice, and
Marvel's doing a great job with the Star Wars books in general.
They're canon, and that's exciting. To be able to actually have this be a part of the overarching story is exciting, and this is just another great piece in that ongoing narrative.
Nope.
Let's move on and talk about Doomsday Clock number 12.
Now, 12 of 12.
12 of 12. This is series, which started a long time ago and took a long time to finish, has concluded, and it is mixing the characters of Watchmen, also a popular television show, and the DC Universe, a less popular movie franchise, together in a comic book form. Pete, what did you think?
I really liked this. The Doomsday Clock to me was very slow and sporadic. But I really love the way it ended, especially the Superman stuff, really touching. I think a great way, great use of Superman. I think sometimes people don't write Superman the greatest, and this was really amazing the way they kind of used him to really drive home stuff. I thought it was very powerful, definitely worth checking out.
It's interesting how much this became a Superman story,
yeah.
And how Dr. Manhattan, it's about... using Superman as a metaphor for Dr. Manhattan's understanding of the universe, basically, yeah. And heroism and humanity, I guess. But I'll tell you what, my enjoyment of this was harmed by how great Watchmen the TV series was.
What? How could something great harm something?
Because this feels less than. We got to see such a great take on Dr. Manhattan in the Watchmen series, which just ended.
It's separate entities, man. Don't let that shit bleed in.
It is separate entities, but it made this cold version of Doc Manhattan that we saw here, it hurt the story, I think, in general. And I think it's especially sad because this book was so delayed. If it hadn't been delayed as much, it wouldn't have sort of gotten its peanut butter into the chocolate of Watchmen the TV series.
I think you meant jelly, not chocolate.
No, peanut butter and chocolate is what some people don't like mixed. I'm one of them. I don't like it when you mix peanut butter and chocolate.
Shut the fuck up.
Why? What do we keep them separate?
No, you don't. You put them together because they're magical.
Not into it. So
you don't like Reese's peanut butter cups?
I don't like the cups. I'll eat a Reese's piece.
A piece?
Now and again? Just one piece.
Piece is great.
I only need one.
No?
I only need one piece. I don't really get with the cups. I don't like peanut butter and chocolate.
Wait, you don't like peanut butter cups?
No.
That's insane to me.
I don't eat a lot of food that's called a cup.
That's too bad, man.
I use my cups for drinking on it.
Nah.
That's just me.
Eat your cups, bro.
Hey, eat your cups, bro.
Great way to recycle.
Take my advice. Eat your cups. But as I was saying, the intention here was great. It was epic. But this series to me ended up feeling like the the Watchmen characters and the DC characters don't blend very well, and it felt a little forced as a final look at him.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. It would have been interesting if this would have came out maybe sooner or on time, even before the show aired. It could have done, could have been, you know, better in your mind at least.
That's what I'm saying, and maybe across the board.
But yeah. I don't know, man. I think they took a big swing. I didn't hate it, which I was waiting to do, but I think the way they tied it in with Superman was such a great choice. Very powerful.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to go big, go Superman.
Yep.
Let's talk Guardians of the Galaxy number 12.
So this is great. This is kind of like Rocket is not doing too well, but what's great about Rocket is he's going to fight you till his last breath, man.
Yeah, this is a raccoon that doesn't mind, like, going for it.
Yeah.
Like a lot of raccoons when they have garbage. When they taste garbage.
You know, I don't know how, you know, I don't really, I haven't, I'm not around raccoons enough to really know what their patterns are, but I think this is a really great book, really well done. A lot of funny Guardians moments here. Hey, what did I miss? You got these amazing flashes of everything that kind of happened that year. And
that
they
is
were like nothing. It was really great.
Those are super fun, huge splash pages.
Yeah, Rocket kind of had some somber moments, but then kind of was himself. It was really touching and well done, and it had some humor. I think this was a really great one run. The art was fantastic. Definitely worth picking up.
Yeah, it's a nice, I like this mix of characters. We get sort of the main Guardians and then the extended Guardians, Cosmic Ghost Riders here a lot. We get Beta Ray Bill. We get a lot of characters that are in space, and it's nice to see them hanging with a gang. Thanos pops up and is like,
"Dude, spoiler!
I win.
Jesus Christ, come on, man!"
Oh well, that's what we're talking about.
Could have been cooler about it.
Great. So yeah, I agree. This is a good run. Def.
And it's
pick.
Not Thanos. It's Thanos, you asshole.
Well, I guess we all. I'm talking about somebody else.
Oh, okay.
You know a guy with a similar name to Thanos? Thanos? This is a big guy, purple.
Yeah.
Same? Oh, maybe the same guy. But yeah. Mine is very smooth chin.
No.
Wrinkle chin.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Funny they have such similar names, but different chins. Weird. Hey, that's life. Speaking of life, let's move on to Suicide Squad number one, a book about characters dying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this book, Suicide Squad, they have tiny bombs in them.
Yep.
They have to go on missions. Mm-hmm. This issue is basically like, look at all these other people that
it's really about the fact that like Amanda Waller quit and this is like this new guy is going to be running Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
And it's like when you got somebody new in charge, you know, it's going to take
new boss.
Yeah, no buenos.
How do you feel about Harley Quinn in general in the DC universe?
Well, I think when she's done right, she is a great, fun character.
What do you mean by done right?
Well, I think there's different versions of Harley Quinn, right? There's Batman, the animated, you know, where she kind of was born. And I like the niceness in her. Sometimes she's just really kind of messed up or dark. Sometimes she's kind of like a Deadpool where she's always joking and violent. So I feel like when they have a little sweetness to Harley Quinn, shows her humanity a little bit, I really like that better. But, you know, everybody has their own taste about it.
Yeah, no, and I think that's something that in the sort of spectrum of the character, I wish it was sort of more consistent. I prefer the Batman the Animated Series take, which is where the character was created.
Right.
And then in recent years, this new version took over, which I think was sort of inspired by Deadpool and...
Right, but also like Jimmy Palamati and Amanda Connor kind of like really did a good job with her and kind of like brought her back to the forefront.
But this comic all about sort of the disposability of heroes and villains in the DC universe. It's like watching, you just know characters are going to die, so it's sort of like keeping track of that is maybe some of the fun here. But yeah, it's a fun read.
Yep.
Let's move on and talk about Heart Attack number 2. Now this comic, we read the first issue, really liked it. I especially really liked it. It's about a universe where people have superpowers. Basically, like the X-Men, sort of genetically they come out. We learned at the middle to end of last issue that when these two main characters get together, their powers are wildly enhanced.
Right, yeah.
And I love that. I said this in the last time we talked about this comic. I love that as a sort of premise for the book. And they reference the X-Men on the first page of this issue. But this really feels like the intimate X-Men. Like, you're getting in these characters' head. It's about their relationship. It is very down to earth. It feels like sort of a slice of life comic while at the same time having the superpower angle. And I really like this.
I really liked it. I'm a little disappointed in the main character when he was sitting down with the cop. And
At the end.
Yeah, at the end there. I'm a little worried about where that's going to go. You know, once you start lying to your lady and what you're about, you know, that's going to blow up in your face later.
Right. Well, you got to find a way to be. Just starting.
Yeah, I know, but you got to find a way to be honest, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Pete dropping just life nugs, as he calls them, for everyone to take home. You got to find a way to be honest.
Yeah.
Great advice from Pete LePage, and I guess a glowing review of the comic from Pete as well.
I really like this book. I continue to like it. It'll be interesting to see where it goes, how it kind of like settles into its rhythm a little bit.
Indeed. Let's move on and talk 2099 Omega number 1 from Marvel Comics. Pete, you love the year 2099.
Yeah.
That's the year you've said you're going to come back from the dead.
That's my plan.
That's your plan.
Yeah.
So what do you think about this comic? Are you looking forward to emerging from your grave to find Miguel O'Hara taking over as Spider-Man?
I don't like these 2099 books. This isn't my cup of tea. It's a kind of a different art, different style, different universe. I like our universe. You know what I mean?
So, you like our regular universe.
Yeah. I like my regular Spider-Man. I don't like 299
Spider-Man. Oh, you
mean the Marvel
universe. I thought you were trying to say, like, I like our life. Like our life. I want a comic about a podcast.
No, that would be super boring. But I do, you know, they do these books every once in a while, and people get into them. So good. You get into what you like.
This
isn't my... The jam, though.
I really like Spider-Man 2099.
Yeah, you're a big fan.
I really like the character. The original series back in the day by Peter David I thought was great. It's odd. Spider-Man 2099 has come up a couple times in Marvel continuity, and it always feels a little he's time-traveling back into present day. It doesn't quite feel good. So I'm hoping that this series actually relaunches the 2099 universe, and that it will continue on a little bit, and they can actually tell stories there without having to always be talking about why it's happening. Like this issue, Omega, is all about like sort of why it's happening, how the world has been shielded from these characters because Doom has been manipulating everything to remain in power, and that's a fine reason for them not to be heroes, but I feel like this is the very beginning of the story where we get to see them actually be heroes. So I'm excited to... It feels like a little bit like we're not quite there yet. I'm excited going forward to get there. But one thing I did like about this series, this crossover, is the fact that they had Watcher, like... The Doom had Watcher just, like, on lockdown, being like, dude, enough watching, start talking.
Yeah.
You like that, too?
No.
Oh, okay, great. Great. Another great interaction between Justin and Pete. let's talk about the Low Woods number 1 from DC Comics. This part of the Joe Hill line of comics that
the
are coming
The creepy out. Section, as the, I like to call it.
It's called the creepy section. This about some teens that are in their town, and they encounter a weird deer, for one. But in general, there's like something up in the town.
Yeah, there's... people kind of go missing or die or whatever, and you know it's sad. You know, mining towns and people dying. That's you know they're breathing in a lot of horrible stuff. But what's even weirder is this whole idea that like women are missing parts of their lives, like they can't remember things.
Yeah,
our two characters wake up in a movie theater and some sketchy kids like, hey, did you like the popcorn?
Yeah.
First off. Fucking, if there's a creepy dude who's like, "Ha, did you like the popcorn? And you just woke up in a movie theater." And there's any implication that maybe he did some fucked up shit, I just murder that guy.
Murder him right away.
Yeah, right away.
So, wow.
Just either torture him, get some information, and the men make the decision if you want to murder him. But like,
oh, what a great, calm way to approach it.
Yeah.
You're such a responsible moviegoer.
Thank you.
You would take the time to first torture the man before you murdered him.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this whole line of comics has done a great job of being this sort of new place for horror comics. They're really well paced. I like the art in this issue, and a lot of these comics in the line here is sort of like Archie-esque. It's sort of like seemingly lighthearted art, and all of a sudden the story takes a dark turn. And I think that really enhances the horror element and the thrill element, having it be such lighthearted art. So I really like that. I really like the story. Many of these stories are set in small towns. I enjoy that. It feels like we're getting to explore.
I just don't like this. The rapiness of what happened was really hard to get past and to kind of get into the story when the characters are saying they're missing parts of time, and it's something that's happened to women in the town a lot. That is a fucking huge red alarm, and like, we need to fucking address that so it can get addressed, and then we can move on with the creepy stuff.
That's part of the creepy. So.
Well,
we're going to see what it is.
I know. I'm just really...
It's stressing you out.
Yeah, it's really stressing me out.
So that's the sign of a good story.
Cool.
That you're stressed. That's how you can tell that Pete is enjoying
every moment. Don't have a rape book is my point.
I don't think that's what this is.
I hope it's
not.
For
the record. But I guess we'll see going forward.
Yeah.
Let's talk Folklords number 2. Now, this is a pizza fan of this, clearly, because he just did a classic double fist pump. This is from Boom.
Yep.
Pete, tell us what you like.
Well, this is fun because it's, you know, playing on folktales and kind of like going on quests and kind of these kids going on an adventure and kind of figuring out who they are. And the first issue really did this great setup of like, okay, here are our heroes. They're going to go out into the world and kind of have a quest and see what happens. And like, it's funny because they get to this fork in the road and like, okay, if we go left, things get easy. And they're like, no, but this is an adventure. We're on a quest. You got to take the hardest road.
Yes.
Which is like, wow. Okay. Sure. That's probably a horrible decision. Let's go into the creepy woods instead of along the pathway.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Pick the creepy woods.
Always pick the creepy woods. That's how I was raised.
Yeah.
In a musical forest full of creepy woods. I like this series a lot too. It feels sort of Harry Potter-esque. I think we talked about. Or if you're a fan of the comic book Fables, it feels like very much in that world as well. Classic.
The art's different though, which is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Classic character leaving behind there, a character who doesn't quite fit in, but has knowledge of the larger world, leaving behind their small town and going on a quest.
Mm-hmm.
Very fun. That's definitely one I'd recommend. Let's jump into another one that maybe Pete liked, Annihilation Scourge Omega number 1. Now, Pete, I bet you don't like any of those words, but I'm going to check in and see what you thought about this comic.
This is just over-the-top action from start to finish.
So we have, this has been sort of a mini crossover event going through Marvel Comics. You've got this, we talked about, I think, the Alpha issue of this, where it was weird how much it focused on Annihilus and your guy Blastar. You love Blastar. He doesn't get a lot of play here.
No, he doesn't, which
too
is
bad.
Disappointing.
Because he's just, I mean, let's be honest, he's just a monkey with laser hands.
Hey, fuck you, man.
That's not a lot.
Fuck you. That's enough.
Have you ever watched The Monkeys at the Zoo?
Yep.
You know
no laser hands.
No laser hands. Oh, you've checked it out.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I love Blastar. Go see if the monkeys at the zoo have laser hands. But I'll tell you what, you know what they mostly do at the zoo, the monkeys? Pick hair from each other and eat poop. Throw poop.
Yeah.
So that's what Blastar is.
No, don't say that.
That's what Blastar is.
Blastar's above that.
Except, no, I don't think he is.
Except
he has laser hands. I thought this crossover was very intense. then very quickly. So I like that it sort of told its story fast. I like a lot of the characters involved here. Silver Surfer, still dealing with his the darkness grown inside him. Really enjoy that. Fantastic Four is sort of a main focus here. Also, the New Warriors oddly pop up a lot in here. Speedball.
Yep.
Firestar Nova. Very big part of this.
Yeah. This is just a fight fest. This comic is just nonstop.
Beta Ray Bill is also a focus here. Do you like Beta Ray Bill? I feel like he's a character that hasn't appeared or done a lot in comics, but everyone's like, I love him. He's Horse Thor.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with Beta Ray Bill.
But do you like him?
Yeah.
What do you like about him?
He's Horse Thor.
That's all you like?
Interesting character.
Because he's Horse Thor and he has a hammer?
Yep.
Great. What an exploration. The depth. That's why you keep coming back to listen to this podcast, because we go deep. And Pete just went as deep as a puddle on a New York City street. I'm curious to see what comes out of this. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is a backdoor beginning of a New Warrior series. Maybe I'm asking for that and it's not actually there. But I've always liked Nova, and less the Nova Corps and more just Nova as a standalone. So I'm hoping the way this ends will lead to more of that. Let's talk The Last God, number 3. Now, we had the writer of this on our show, Philip Kennedy Johnson, and I think this is a fantastic book.
Nice.
It's an epic fantasy. The art is beautiful. It is so well thought out and researched. This third issue just pushes the story forward. We're getting to know our characters. The first couple issues, we were thrown into the premise about how the rulers of this land had defeated a great evil, and then we find out, oh, nope, they didn't. They had gotten their position by their reputation as god killers. They weren't. They fucked up, and they paid a price. And we're getting to know what I think are going to be the main characters of this story a little bit more as it's going on, and I like every bit of it.
Yeah, it's really good. To me, it's just a solid kind of like fantasy adventure book.
Okay, no more? No, nothing more to say.
Well, the art's really great. It's interesting storytelling, but, you know.
Great. Great stuff. Let's talk Rick and Morty number 57. Now, Pete, this comic is made by Oni Press, and do you enjoy it?
Yeah, I mean, I like Rick and Morty. I think, the comics do a great job, and they even make this joke of, like, the comic creators are in this comic. So it's like, they make a joke, if you like the show, you'll like the comic, and I think that's true. They capture the humor really well. I think it's just kind of a fun adventure. Morty is captured. Rick goes to a kind of like Rick and Morty Comic-Con, and there's a giant like Pickle Rick, and everybody's screaming. And
this comic is set in a world where Rick and Morty is a television show.
Yeah.
So I actually don't watch Rick and Morty. It's something I think I'm going to watch. I'm going to make a point of watching it over this holiday break. Finally catch up on it. I feel behind. And I watch a lot of television.
Yep.
So I'm excited to get into it, but it's set in a world where Rick and Morty is a TV show, so we get a lot of great meta jokes here, nonstop, actually, which is really fun. I like the way this comic is sort of irreverent. It's making fun of itself a lot, which I think is great. And I was surprised that this had a pretty strong to be continued. Yep. I thought it was going to be a done in one. So I like that it has an ongoing narrative in that way.
Yeah, it's cool. You ought to check out the TV show, bro.
I'm going to give it a shot. I just talked about that. Let's move on and talk Legion of Superheroes number 2 from DC Comics. Brian Michael Bendis.
This is your sweet spot right here.
We got kids in space.
It's more than that. They're superheroes in space.
They're superheroes. Bendis is sort of slow walking us into the Legion of Superheroes. The second issue. Exploring the world a little bit more, we actually don't get too much information. We don't get a lot of focus on the individual characters. It's a lot of talk about...
Well, there's so many characters, and that's kind of what they're... And they're, like, apologizing. It's like, oh, sorry, so much is going on. It's almost like Bendis is like, hey, I'm having my characters apologize for me. We're just kind of jumping right in, and like, you know, Superboy is kind of like the main character we're following. I think this is. I wasn't as into it in the first issue, but now that I've kind of like gotten used to the pace and how things are going, I think this is very enjoyable.
Yeah. A lot of the focus on the lead up to this was on the character Rose, and she gets a lot of play here. I am very curious about her. I like her as a character. But I do miss sort of getting more of the wide swath of the other Legion, members of the Legion. Also, I think it's odd that they're focused, this issue is focused on Aquaman's trident being in the future.
Well, you know, it's kind of background for all, everything that's going on, but...
Right, but I guess in a comic that's all about looking forward to the future, we continue to look back. The sort of reveal at the end of the issue is also looking backwards. So I like it, and I want it to continue to look forward, so I'm looking forward to looking forward.
Cool.
Let's talk Once in Future number 5, one of Pete's fave books out there.
Yeah. This is sad, though, because my favorite character, you know, spoilers.
Your favorite grandmother.
Yeah, my favorite character like, in this comic is
your favorite,
grandmother.
Like you like this grandma more than your own grandparents.
Dude.
You said on multiple occasions.
Watch your mouth, man. My grandparents are dead. Rest in peace.
Nice.
Grandma Lee Page was a boss.
Grandma Lee Page?
Yep.
Oh, interesting. What is her claim to fame?
Not giving a fuck is her claim
to
fame.
Not giving a fuck? Yeah. And marmalade?
No, dude. Grandma Page didn't fuck around, dude. She played poker. She was, like, breaking rules left and right. She wasn't eating marmalade or making marmalade.
Okay.
She was a boss.
Nice. I'm picturing you with, like, a big tuft of white hair on top. Maybe a beard. I don't know.
Anyways, the spoiler in this is Grandma kind of shoots herself to kind of get her son into action. You know, and sometimes I'm sure you as a parent feel like this, you know, like you can bring your kid to water, but you can't make him drink. So like
you're thinking of horses, but
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. But sometimes you guys shoot yourself. So your kid steps up their game, you know?
Yeah. That's definitely, I think that's parenting 101.
Yeah.
This series is fantastic.
The art's unbelievable. The storytelling is very creative in a fun way. I can't recommend this book enough every time we talk about it.
It is tailor-made for a TV show, I feel like. Mm-hmm. It is like ready to leap off the page. It feels like a show that could
Netflix
be on.
Netflix should pick this up.
Netflix, TBS, sci-fi, depending on the various budgets they want to make it with. It feels like, what's the show you and Alex like? The Magicians or Librarians or something? Yeah. It feels like right there. Mm-hmm. Like they could just start calling it that and just make that show, right?
I don't know about
Does that belittle your fandom of the Librarians whatever it is?
Magicians. You asshole.
Okay, it's just Magicians. So it's Harry Potter but older?
Oh, you're an asshole.
Or are they just guys with hats?
It's a little bit more R-rated Harry Potter.
Ooh, R-rated, but... It's on basic cable. It's not R-rated.
Fuck you, man. Can we go on, please?
Speaking of R-rated, let's talk Safe Sex number 4.
Fuck.
It's all been building up to us talking about this book because Pete is not comfortable with this comic. Tell me why.
People have taste and different flavors. I really don't want to see... I don't know what it is about seeing sex in a comic book, but it's not something I'm like, yeah.
You don't like sex in comic books specifically?
Well, I love love in comic books, but I mean...
What about in movies or TV shows? Does
it bother
you?
I just feel like, to me, comic is an art form, and any time that I have to hide my comic book, because if there's people around me that see there's naked people, I get a little weirded out, and then I feel like, oh, that guy's just a perv comic guy.
Yeah. You know? Well, like when you go to the museum, you cover up the... nude pictures.
Fuck
with
you.
Your coat.
Fuck you. No, anyways, let's talk about this issue because we got a lot to get through. So, it's all about this thing about this government trying to, you know, make people not be sexual and kind of control them. And then there's this faction that rebelled that is very much like a underground sex dungeon where people get to have their feelings and have their fun and have sex how they want to. And then there's one dude who's really good at taking pain and he's tortured, but then he ends up swinging a bowling ball from his ball sack because he can take the pain and tries to escape, but then doesn't.
That's a great summary from someone who didn't like the book. I like this book. If you've ever seen the movie Brazil by Terry Gilliam from back in the day, it sort of feels like that, focused on a society where sex is repressed. And I think it's really interesting. It's sort of, it's about like sexual desire, how repressing that doesn't actually make it go away, and the different ways it squeezes out when you do try to repress it, and rebelling to take ownership of your own sexual desire. Very great premise. The art is really nice. It sort of
has...
Yeah,
that's great.
It reminds me of the Jessica Jones series from back in the day in that way.
I agree.
Very into that. And we're going to do a special shout-out for our last comic today. Pete really wanted to talk about Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman Dead Earth, man. This isn't the Wonder Woman that you're used to.
Yeah.
All right, this is a grittier Wonder Woman, man. She's in the shit.
Okay. All right. You've sold everyone on it. Wonder Woman in the shit.
Yep. This is kind of like a post-apocalyptic Wonder Woman scenario. There's been like a nuclear fallout. Batman's dead and Wonder Woman's got to fucking save the day. I fucking love this book. The artist and writer is a fantastic artist and writer.
How do you know this artist? Do you know?
Yeah.
Daniel Warren Johnson?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you know him from?
Oh, my God. You're ridiculous. So I just think that this is a fantastic...
Murder Falcon.
Yeah, I know Murder...
Well, say it.
You're just busting my balls because I made a Murder Falcon t-shirt.
I'm not busting your balls.
I'm a huge fan.
I think it's nice that you're a fan and that he's on this book, which is a great book, and the art is fucking amazing.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what he does with the property like Wonder Woman. And so far, this is a really solid first issue. It'll be exciting to see how it goes down.
It's such a good premise. The art, like his art style is so, there's so much audio in it. It's so sonic. We talk about that a lot with Murder Falcon, which is a book about music. But even in here, it's like there's so much of that, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Definitely. Pick it up because it's out today, this day of many days. Guys, that's it. That's all we have time for with the stack. The stack is over. Now it's time for you to read it.
Yeah.
Go read those books.
Go read those books. Thanks for stacking it up with us.
Thanks for stacking it up with us. Please check us out. We do a million other podcasts. Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. we do Comic Book Club Live. You can come see us at the Pit Loft or you can listen to the podcast. We also just finished up our Watchmen podcast called Watchmen Watch, which was, man, we talked about it a little bit here. Great show.
Great show. Check it out.
Riverdale After Dark. You can follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks.
thanks so much, guys. See you next time. Yeah,